Good morning. So good to be with you. As Phil said, my name is Brandon, and I'm going to, where am I going? Cameroon and Istanbul and Georgia in the next month. So, yeah, if you think about it, pray for those trips. Pray that it be in John 15 language, fruitful for the glory of God. You are a church with the gift of hospitality. I just want to say thank you for demonstrating the gospel to Lydia and I. Every time we come back, thank you for welcoming us always as Christ has welcomed you. Please turn in your Bible to John 15. Once you're there, if you're able, would you stand for the reading of Scripture? John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So, Father, we just heard that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So we come to you because you are the vine, we are the branches. And so we come to you as branches, dependent people, needy people, people who without you cannot bear fruit. So Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that we would not do this, that I would not do this apart from you, that we would preach with you, that we would hear with you, we would listen with you, so that this may not be in vain, but that we may bear fruit because of it. So we need your Holy Spirit, and we ask for it now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. If you're anything like me, you love goals. We have career goals, financial goals, health goals, reading goals, house project goals, etc., etc. But when it comes to the Christian life, very few have a goal. What's your goal as a Christian? Or more importantly, what's God's goal for you? What's his goal, his end goal for your Christian life? In John 15, 16, Jesus told his disciples what his goal for their life was. Here's what he says: you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. This is the goal of every disciple of Jesus, to bear fruit. Translation, to become like Jesus. This is God's goal because, as verse 8 tells us, this is how we glorify God. By this, Jesus says, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So if this is God's goal for you, for us, how's it going? Are you bearing fruit? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Are you growing in love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? My aim this morning is that you would join God in making it the aim of your life to bear fruit, to become like Jesus. And that you would see from John 15, 1 through 11, that the way we do that is through abiding in Jesus. John 15, 1 through 11 is about how we bear fruit, or it's about how we become like Jesus. The word fruit occurs 8 times in the chapter. According to Jesus, there's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't bear fruit. Notice the contrast in John 15, 1 through 11. It isn't between Christians who bear fruit and Christians who don't bear fruit. There's no such thing as a fruitless Christian. That's an oxymoron. The contrast is between fruitful Christians and non-Christians. There's no third category of Christians who don't bear fruit. If you are a Christian, you bear fruit. If you don't, you're not a Christian. And those who don't bear fruit, verse 2, he takes away. Do you understand the significance of that statement? Jesus is saying that those who don't bear fruit, it's not as if they lose their salvation. What he's saying is that those who don't bear fruit, they were never saved. So many might say they're a Christian because they go to church, they read their Bible, but Jesus is saying that the way we know if someone is a Christian is if they bear fruit. And notice the progression. Verse 2, he says, bear fruit. Verse 2, he says, more fruit. And then verse 5, he says, much fruit. That's the trajectory of the Christian life. Are you moving in that direction? Are you making progress? Listen, it's far too common to see and know Christians who've been in church for years, yet make very little progress. If you're a Christian, you must be becoming more and more like Jesus. But here's the hope. According to Jesus, we can. One of my favorite sayings of Aaron is, Pastor Aaron, is don't settle for less than God intends. But when it comes to change, far too many settle for less than God intends. Christian, you really can change. You really can bear fruit. Do you believe that? Do you believe you can bear much fruit? Christ-likeness is possible. Jesus sure thought so. Notice in verse 8 who it is that bears much fruit. It's disciples. It's not the Apostle Paul. It's disciples. Do you know what this means? This means that it's possible for disciples like you and me to bear much fruit. So maybe you're here. You're frustrated by your lack of spiritual growth. Maybe you're tired of trying and failing. Maybe something happened this week, got angry at your spouse again, impatient with your children, watched pornography, or maybe you just feel like you've hit a plateau. In John 15, Jesus doesn't just tell us to bear fruit, he tells us how. So how do we? How do we bear fruit? Or how do we become like Jesus? And the first answer he gives us is we can't. That sounds like it contradicts what I just said, but this is what he says. At least we can't without Jesus. This is why he calls his disciples branches in verse 4. Because a branch, verse 4, cannot bear fruit by itself. Apart from me, you can do nothing. First of all, who says that? I mean, that's a crazy thing to say. Nothing? God says that. But by nothing, Jesus means bear fruit. Have you ever seen a branch on the ground bear grapes? It's impossible. And so it is for the Christian. Apart from Jesus, we can bear no fruit. So do you recognize your inability to bear fruit? To be a branch means you are dependent. All day long, here's what the vine says, or here's what the branch says to the vine: I need you. The branch, it never outgrows its need for the vine, and neither does the Christian. And this is hard for us to understand because everything in our world teaches us the opposite. It is a sign of maturity to be independent. But for the Christian, it's just the opposite. The most mature Christians are the most dependent Christians. So to be the husband, the wife, the parent, the employee, the student that you are called to be, you need to be dependent on Jesus. And we are dependent on him for fruit. This is why Jesus begins with these words. Verse 1, I am the true vine. All throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus has been revealing who he is. So far, he has said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, on the night before he died, Jesus makes his seventh and final I am statement. I am the true vine. In other words, he is the source, the only source of fruitfulness. But Jesus doesn't just say he's the vine. Notice, he says, I am the true vine. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel are described as God's vine or vineyard. For example, Psalm 80, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. Through them, through the people of Israel, God will bring fruit in the world. So in order to bear fruit, you had to be connected to the nation of Israel. But as we know, Israel, they didn't bear fruit. Isaiah says they were supposed to yield grapes, but they yielded wild grapes. And interestingly, every time that the vine metaphor is used in reference to Israel, it's used in a negative sense. Now Jesus comes onto the scene and he says, I am the true vine. Translation, he is the true and better Israel. Through him, God will bear fruit. So it's no longer about being connected to a nation, but a person. So how do we bear fruit? By being connected to the vine. In other words, as Jesus says in verse 4, we abide. This is the main point of John 15, 1 through 11. Abide. A disciple of Jesus bears fruit the same way a branch does, by abiding in the vine. The word for abide is meno in Greek. It can be translated remain, stay, live, dwell, reside, or my favorite, make your home in. In other words, to abide is the opposite of living apart from me. A.W. Tozer called it a habitual conscious communion. I like that. So abiding isn't something we do on Sunday or for an hour in the morning. This isn't just another practice. It's a way of life. So notice the connection between verses 3 and 4. Jesus says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Therefore, abide in me." So Jesus isn't telling his 11 disciples to be a branch. They already are a branch. Rather, he's telling them, now that you are a branch, live as a branch. Union, then communion. Or better yet, union for the sake of communion. The point is that we don't abide to be a branch. We abide because we are a branch. Which means Jesus doesn't just want to convert you to Christianity. He wants to have a relationship with you. For many, especially those of us who grew up in church or have been around church for a long time, Jesus, he can become a thing, not a personal being we dwell in fellowship with. But what Jesus is inviting us into here isn't just to profess faith in him, but to be in relationship with him. Let me ask you, do you have a relationship with Jesus? I don't mean theologically, but experientially. That's what I'm really after. I hope that's what you're really after. I want to experience John 15. Like, is Jesus your friend? Does your relationship with him feel personal? Jesus didn't just die to save you, but to have communion, fellowship, friendship, and intimacy with you. Do those words describe your relationship to Jesus? And here's the key to that, abiding. And notice the word abide in verse 4, it's a command. You must abide. In order to bear fruit, you must remain, stay, live, dwell, reside, make your home in Jesus. Are you obeying this command? The result of doing so is verse 5. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So God's goal for us is to bear fruit, but notice, this is so important, we aren't commanded to bear fruit because we can't. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself. And this should reshape, I really mean this, this should reshape the way we live the Christian life. Our job isn't to bear fruit. That's the job of the vine. Our job, your job, is to abide. And by abiding, we bear fruit. In other words, the most important thing you can do as a Christian is abide in Jesus. The fact that Jesus commands us to abide, it tells us that we branches, we have the ability to abide in Jesus or not. In other words, we don't choose whether or not we will abide. We choose what we will abide in. All of us are abiding. So the question, it isn't, are you abiding? The question is, what are you abiding in? And Jesus is teaching that our lives, they will bear the fruit of what we abide in. But let's be honest. Most of us, we abide in things other than Jesus. The average American spends 5 hours and 1 minute per day on their phone. That's 83 days per year, 2.7 months. We check our phone 186 times a day. The typical social media user spends an average of 18 hours and 36 minutes using social media each week, which is about 2 hours and 39 minutes per day, according to ChatGPT. Could it be that you're bearing fruit, or no fruit, or little fruit, not because you're too busy, but because you're wasting time abiding in the wrong things? Some of you here, you aren't experiencing the John 15 life, a life of fruit, a life of spiritual nourishment, a life of spiritual vitality, because we're abiding in the wrong things. Or in the words of Jesus, you're withering. Hear what Jesus is saying. The reason why so many don't experience this life is because they live too far from Jesus. But notice, to bear much fruit, it not only requires us to abide in Jesus, he must abide in us. Verse 4, abide in me, don't miss this phrase, and I in you. Whoa. He says the same thing in verse 5. Whoever abides in me, and I in him. So not only do we abide in Jesus, but Jesus abides in us. Through his Spirit, he remains, stays, lives, resides in us. Christian, you are his dwelling place. His home is in you. If this sounds too good to be true, listen to Jesus just a few verses earlier. If anyone loves me, says John 14:23, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus is teaching what theologians call union with God. Did you know the title Christian is used only 3 times in the New Testament? And each time it's used as a pejorative or in a negative sense. Neither Jesus nor any New Testament author ever calls themselves a Christian. I'm not advocating that we shouldn't call ourselves a Christian. I'll use it. But I think we miss the reality of what it means to be a Christian at times. The most common way the Bible describes a Christian is someone who is in Christ. Paul uses this phrase more than 80 times in his letters. This is the essence of what it means to be a Christian, to be in Christ, or in the words of Jesus, to be a branch. If by faith you're in Christ, just listen to what the Bible says about you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Church, this is what it means to be a branch in the vine. Is this how you understand the gospel? Jesus didn't just die to save you and to bring you to heaven. He died so that he could live in you. And this is the reason why only Christians bear fruit. Because only the Christian has Christ in them. Christ-likeness is the result of Christ in us. So Jesus, he didn't just come to make us a better person. Christianity is not self-help. He came to give us himself. We can become like Jesus because Jesus is in us. And so the way we change isn't by trying to do better. A branch doesn't force fruit. It stays connected to the vine. And because it's connected to the vine, it bears fruit. Fruit is organic. In the same way, when we stay connected to the vine, we will bear fruit. But abiding in John 15 isn't the only way that we bear fruit. As in any fruitful vineyard, there's a vine dresser or gardener who helps the branches bear fruit. That's in verse 1. And in Jesus's agrarian metaphor, the vine dresser is God the Father. And notice what God the gardener does. He doesn't just take away branches that don't bear fruit. He, verse 2, prunes branches. So God may be pruning you this morning. Maybe he's pruning your pride by convicting you of sin. Maybe he's pruning your lack of trust by closing a door that you thought was opened. Maybe he's pruning your selfishness through parenting. Maybe he's pruning your dependence. Maybe he's pruning your dependence through the loss of a job. Maybe he's pruning your love for the things of the world through financial hardship. Maybe he's pruning your independence through unanswered prayers. Maybe he's pruning your love of success by allowing failure. Maybe he's pruning your discontentment through a season of singleness. However God may be pruning you, his cuts, his removals, they aren't to punish you. He isn't an angry gardener. Notice, the gardener's pruning you, verse 2, so that you may bear more fruit. So while pruning is painful, pruning is not punishment. The author of Hebrews said, he disciplines or he prunes us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Therefore, as Paul writes in Romans, rejoice. Rejoice in your sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So if God is pruning you, let it have its intended effect, more fruit. But the million-dollar question is how? How do we abide? If pruning is what God does, what do? Well, we abide, but how do we abide? How do we practically stay connected to the vine? Or how do we, as J.C. Ryle says, have a habit of constant close communion with him? Jesus gives us the answer. He gives us two fruit-bearing practices, his words and prayer. Or in other words, we abide in Jesus by him talking to us and us talking to him. Lifeway recently conducted a study asking respondents about how often, if at all, do you personally read the Bible? According to Lifeway, fewer than 1 in 3 churchgoers read the Bible daily. Among U.S. Protestant churchgoers, 9% said they read the Bible rarely or never. What about you? What's your honest answer to that question? How often, if at all, do you personally read the Bible? According to Jesus, if you don't abide in his words, you don't abide in him. In verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. Whoever abides in me, and I in him. But notice what he says in verse 7. If you abide in me, and, now you would expect Jesus to say, if you abide in me, and I in you. But that isn't what he says. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So Jesus, he replaces himself with his words. So his words, abiding in us, is as if he is abiding in us. We abide in Jesus and he abides in us when his words abide in us. Are you abiding in the Bible? Do you remain? Does his words remain, stay, live, dwell, reside, make their home in you? Or do you merely just visit them when you feel like it or when you have time? Remember, you are a branch. A branch doesn't draw sap from the vine only when it feels like it. A branch doesn't say, I don't have time for sap today. The branch says, if I don't get sap, I will wither and die. The branch, it says, sap is my life. His words, Christian, are your life. So if you're bearing little fruit, might that have something to do with the little amount of time you spend in the Bible? When his words abide in us, look what happens, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. To abide in Jesus, we shouldn't only hear from his word, but talk to him in prayer. At the least, what verse 7 means, it's an invitation from Jesus to pray. At the least, it's that. So to know if you're abiding in Jesus, look at your prayer life. If we don't pray, what we're saying is that we don't believe what Jesus says in verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Prayerlessness says, apart from Jesus, I can do something. But Jesus doesn't just tell his disciples to pray. He tells them, or commands them even, ask whatever you wish. How can Jesus promise such a thing? If you think he misspoke, or maybe John misheard and misquoted Jesus, check this out. He says it again. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Again, same phrase, whatever. But does whatever actually mean whatever? Unfortunately, it doesn't. Jesus isn't giving you a blank check to get a Tesla or whatever. Notice the first word of this promise, if. So this is a conditional statement. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. When Jesus' words abide in you, you begin to want what he wants. Your will begins to conform to his will. And what does he want? He wants fruit. So the ask here in verse 7 is an ask for fruitfulness. How often are you asking God for fruitfulness? How often do you ask God to make you more like Jesus? What if God is willing and able, but he's just waiting for you to ask? Do you want to bear fruit? Just ask. Do you lack love or joy or peace or patience or kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Ask him. Do you want to be have a more faithful and fruitful marriage? Ask him. Do you want your parenting to bear more fruit? Ask him. If you ask God for fruit, here's what he says. It will be done for you. It shouldn't go without saying that these two practices, they aren't the only way that we abide in Jesus and thereby bear fruit. Change is a long, slow, complicated process. You could say it's like a branch bearing fruit. But they are one way. More so, they are the way that Jesus has told us to abide in him. But I want to say that these practices, they are not the end. The Bible, it isn't the end. Prayer, it isn't the end. Jesus is the end. Abiding in him is the end. And these practices are simply the means to the end of abiding in Jesus and becoming like him. But arguably, more than any other practice, what will help us abide in Jesus is what he says in verse 9. Abide in my love. One of the great hindrances to abiding in Jesus is believing that he doesn't love us. Yet nothing helps us abide in him more than knowing he does. Which is why this isn't a command for you to abide in your love for Jesus. Both in verse 9 and in verse 10, he says, abide in my love. In other words, don't abide in how you feel about him. Abide in how he feels about you. How does Jesus feel about you? If you're a branch abiding in the vine, Jesus says he feels about you the same way the Father feels about the Son. Don't miss that word as in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That word as, it's the Greek word kathos, which literally means just as. The love that God the Father has for Jesus is just as the love Jesus has for us. So maybe it's easier for us to believe that God the Father loves God the Son. How couldn't he? Jesus says, my love for you is just as his love for me. How often do you just rest in and receive his love? His love for you, that he loved you before you bore any fruit. If we don't, we aren't abiding in his love. And just a few verses later, Jesus tells us how he has loved us. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Did you catch it? Jesus died for you because you are his friends. Which means God doesn't just love us, he actually likes us. This is what Jesus is inviting you to abide in. Remain, stay, live, dwell, reside, make your home there in the truth that he just loves you. Jesus tells us how we do this in the next verse. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And he says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. 1,000 years before Jesus said this, King David said something similar. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Note where fullness of joy is found. In God's presence. How do we be in the presence of God? Abiding. So maybe, just maybe, these guys were on to something. If we want joy, we will abide. So in closing, what's Jesus inviting you to do? For some, you may be disconnected from the vine, and he's inviting you to be a branch. For others, you're in him, but you're living apart from him. And he's inviting you to live as a branch. Maybe you're abiding in the wrong things, and he's inviting you to make some changes so you can abide in him. Or maybe you're abiding in Jesus, and he's just inviting you into more fruit. The goal of the Christian life, the goal of your life, God's goal for you, is to bear fruit. How do we do that? Like a branch, we abide in the vine. And according to Jesus, That means we abide in his words, in prayer, and in love, his love. Why do we do that? For joy. But not just any joy, the very joy of Jesus himself. In other words, when we do what Jesus is saying to do in John 15, 1 through 11, when we abide in him, his joy will be in us. Don't you want to experience that joy? Jesus invites you, abide in me. Let's pray. Father, we do want to experience that joy. And so I just ask that you would search us, that your Holy Spirit would come and apply this word to each and every heart. Father, I don't know how this word needs to be applied in all of our hearts. Some need to be convicted. Some need to be encouraged. Some need to be comforted. But you do. So I pray that your Holy Spirit now would be sent and would work and do the work that only he can do, which is glorify and show and illuminate Jesus. So convict who needs to be convicted, encourage who needs to be encouraged, comfort who needs to be comforted with your word, by your Spirit. And I pray that for each and every person in this room, we would abide. We would do whatever it takes to abide in you, and by so doing, you would use this church, use these people to bear much fruit, all for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.